This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm John Ross, KD8IDJ, and this is the ARRL Audio News for Friday, December 1st, 2023. Radio amateurs now have a new tool from ARRL to help answer questions about their stations. Neighbors of amateur radio operators are sometimes concerned about transmissions and radio frequency exposure from amateur stations. The ARRL RF Safety Committee, with their international counterparts at the Radio Society of Great Britain, the Irish Radio Transmitter Society, and the Swedish Society of Radio Amateurs, has developed a new set of guidelines to help amateur radio operators interact and talk with their neighbors about RF exposure. Chairman of the ARRL RF Safety Committee, Greg Lapin, N9GL, said the new information PDF found on the ARRL RF Exposure page, helping amateurs interact with neighbors asking about radio transmissions, was developed after a year of discussions about RF safety. Neighbors may be alarmed by some of the misinformation about RF safety that is available from a variety of sources. By following the exposure regulations from the Federal Communications Commission, we can be confident that our families and neighbors are safe, said Lapin. Lapin added that RF exposure and regulations are based on decades of trustworthy research. He also encouraged all amateur radio operators to perform exposure assessments for their stations to make sure they meet those regulations. You can read more about this story at ARRL.org. An ARRL advocacy win. The FCC approves request for Pearl Harbor Day crossband operations. ARRL sought a waiver on behalf of the activators and the Federal Communications Commission. The FCC has granted it. The waiver allows amateur radio operators to participate in a special event commemorating the 82nd annual National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. The Battleship Iowa Amateur Radio Association, known as BIARA, with authority from the U.S. Navy and Southwest Marine Corps Spectrum Office, will honor the sailors and ships previously homeported in San Pedro, California, who were attacked on December 7, 1941. There will be special crossband activations of NEPM, that's the Battleship Iowa's original call sign, on December 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th in 2023. Using the call sign NEPM, the club will transmit on assigned military frequencies and listen for calls from the amateur radio community on their adjacent bands. Operations on all 4 days are expected to be from 0700 to 1600 hours Pacific time, 1500 to 24 hours Universal Coordinated Time. The FCC stated the grant of the waiver meets the second prong of the waiver standard in that the event presents a unique opportunity for the amateur and military communities to practice communication skills under the guidance of military officials, which may be useful in the future and serves the public interest. In addition to the skills gained by amateur radio operators participating in the test, National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day has historical significance, of course. It emphasizes the importance of reliable communications and the need to be vigilant in national defense. If amateur radio operators who wish to participate are licensed in a country outside of the U.S., the BIARA advises to check the terms and conditions that govern their respective licenses. QSL procedures and more can be found about this story at ARRL.org. Bruce Page, KK5DO, is here with this week's AMSAT report. Bruce?
Thanks, John. It has been asked, and not just once, when will AMSAT put a satellite in geostationary orbit? From AMSAT President Robert Bengston, KE4AL, comes this reply, which appeared in his Apogee View at AMSAT.org. Quote, "The short answer is never. If we have to do it by ourselves, the Federal Communications Commission is not going to allow a bunch of weekend warriors to play in geostationary orbit. Not to mention the price of admission, continued operation, and indemnification is beyond our reach. Our best opportunity is to partner with someone already going there as a secondary payload. To date, no one has knocked on our door offering a free ride, nor have we had any success in our numerous cold call attempts. What we need is someone on the inside or even a friend of a friend who can get us in the room. If you know someone and an opportunity, I could use your help," unquote. One day, will we have the opportunity to ride as a secondary payload on a GEO satellite? Speaking for many hams, we certainly hope so. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO. Back to you, John.
Thanks, Bruce, for that report. As part of the celebrations for Skywarn Recognition Day, SRD, on December 2nd, 2023, hams will be on the air as WX1AW from the ARRL Radio Laboratory Station, W1HQ. ARRL Director of Emergency Management Josh Johnson, KE5MHV, and other amateurs plan to be on the air for several hours Saturday morning and midday. The event honors all Skywarn storm spotters and amateur radio operators for their contributions to the National Weather Service during severe weather. Amateur radio operators also provide vital communication to the National Weather Service and emergency management teams in other instances when normal communications fail. Skywarn is a perfect example of an opportunity for hams to provide situational awareness for our communities during severe weather. We are happy to participate with our partners at the NWS and look forward to continuing the service provided by amateur radio operators around the world, said Johnston. For those interested in participating in the operating event, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, website is now updated with the Skywarn registration form, mapping form, rules, and information. By the way, SRD was developed in 1999 by the National Weather Service and ARRL. On SRD amateur stations, they exchange contact information with as many NWS stations as possible on 80, 40, 20, 15, 10, and 6 meters, plus the 2-meter and 70-centimeter bands. Contacts made via repeaters are also permitted. Non-amateur radio spotters can exchange information with the National Weather Service offices using social media. To learn how to become a trained NOAA storm spotter, visit spottertraining at weather.gov. The National Conference of Volunteer Examiner Coordinators, NCVEC, Question Pool Committee, known as QPC, has removed two general class license questions. Pursuant to the November 13, 2023 FCC rule change to remove symbol rate restrictions on amateur radio digital emissions, the QPC has deleted the two questions from the general class question pool because they are no longer correct. General class questions G1C08 and G1C10 are withdrawn from the pool effective immediately and should be removed from examinations as soon as possible. Updated question pool files, including the errata and new information, have been posted on the NCVEC General Class Question Pool webpage. The current Element 3 General 3 question pool became effective on July 1, 2023 and is valid through June 30, 2027. The ARRLVEC advises the community to regularly check the NCVEC website. For updates to the question pools and more information about this story, visit ARRL.org. In a ceremony held on November 21, 2023 in Oregon City, Oregon, the Emergency Communications Radio Room in the Clackamas County's Disaster Management Offices was named in honor of former section manager of the ARRL Oregon Section, David Kidd, KA7OZO. Kidd is a longtime amateur radio volunteer who stepped down from his role as the County Emergency Coordinator for Radio Amateurs after 20 years of service. He became the Emergency Coordinator for the Clackamas Amateur Radio Emergency Services, CARES, in 2002. Under his leadership, CARES signed a Memorandum of Understanding with Clackamas County Disaster Management in 2005 that established a strong working relationship between amateur radio volunteers and county disaster management. Kidd's successor, Steve Jensen, KE7QXC, explained, "David built CARES from just a few people to one that has strong cooperation with Clackamas County, city subunits, and a large, active, trained, and committed membership." Interim Deputy Disaster Manager Director for Clackamas County, Jimmy Poole, announced at Kidd's retirement that the newly established radio room would be named in his honor to recognize his service to the county. CARES is a group of licensed amateur radio volunteers who provide critical communication links during disasters and other major events. For more information about CARES, visit www.clackamasaries.org. Summits on the air. SOTA is offering a 10-meter challenge in 2024. The challenge will run from 0000 UTC on January 1, 2024 to 2359 UTC on December 31, 2024. Solar Cycle 25 is beginning to create regular favorable DX conditions on higher bands, and early predictions indicate the cycle peak may occur during the summer of 2024. SOTA held a 12-meter challenge in 2013, and since then, more than 90 associations have been added to the SOTA program, including many in South America, the Caribbean, and Asia. There is excellent potential for DX SOTA activity, and activators are encouraged to consider 28 megahertz for their summit operations in 2024. Scoring will be done automatically by the database software, and there will be a special 10-meter challenge results page, and electronic certificates will be issued for all participants with their name, call sign, association, and score. For more information, including the rules for the challenge, visit the Summits on the Air website. In radio sport this week, the year-long ARRL Volunteers on the Air VOTA event continues, and at their website you can find the state activation schedule for weekly W1AW portable operations, including November 29th through December 5th, Rhode Island, W1AW/1, Florida, W1AW/4, and Delaware, W1AW/3. Then December 6th through the 12th, it's Louisiana, W1AW/5, Illinois, W1AW/9, and Hawaii, W1AW/KH6. Upcoming contest on December 1st through the 2nd, it's the SEC QSO Party, that's CW Phone and Digital. December 1st through the 3rd, the ARRL 160-meter contest, that's CW. December 2nd through the 3rd, the Cal Bar Contest, that's phone, and the UFT meeting, that's CW. On December 2nd as well, Wake Up QRP Sprint, CW. December 2nd through the 3rd, the Pro CW Contest, CW. The INORC Contest, that is also CW. And on December 2nd through the 3rd, the FT Roundup, that is digital. December 5th, the Worldwide Sideband Activity Contest, that's phone. The ARS Spartan Sprint, that's CW. On December 6th, it's the Phone Weekly Test, that's phone. And also on December 6th, the VHF-UHF FT8 Activity Contest, that is digital. Upcoming Section State and Division Conventions on December 8th through the 9th, it's the Tampa Bay Ham Fest hosting the ARRL West Coast Central Florida Section Convention, that's in Plant City, Florida. January 6th, Ham Radio University hosting the ARRL New York City Long Island Section Convention in Brookville, New York. January 12th through the 14th, the ARRL Puerto Rico State Convention, that's in Hautillo, Puerto Rico. And January 19th through the 20th, the Cowtown Ham Fest hosting the ARRL North Texas Section Convention, that's in Forest Hill, Texas. And finally, thanks to the Knox County Amateur Radio Club in Galesburg, Illinois, for airing the ARRL audio news on their repeater. 7-3.
And that concludes ARRL audio news for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL audio news is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL audio news, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.